This is the Engines of Our Ingenuity, made possible by the friends of KUHF Houston.
Today, we run through the history of the marathon. The Honors College at the University of Houston presents this series about the machines that make our civilization run and the people whose ingenuity created them. The marathon is the ultimate runner's challenge. It's a grueling event that tests the limits of human endurance over 26 miles. But unlike the javelin, the discus, or the shorter running events, the marathon was not a part of the original Greek Olympics at Olympia. It's a modern invention. When the modern Olympics were reinstituted in Athens in 1896, the organizers were looking for an event that would have a real sense of history. So a French scholar seized on the legend of Pheidippides. The story goes that after the Athenians defeated the Persians at the Battle of Marathon in 490 BC, Pheidippides, who'd fought in the battle, ran all the way to Athens to announce the victory. He arrived and shouted, "We've won!" then dropped dead. This certainly wouldn't be a good precedent for an athletic event. It may not even be a true story. Surely someone could have lent him a horse. Moreover, it had nothing to do with the ancient Olympics. It was an Athenian story. But it was such a thrilling tale that the organizers went for it. However, what really happened at the first marathon in 1896 is the stuff of fairy tales. There was a runner who broke into the competition quite late. His name was Spiridon Louis. He was literally a nobody, a water carrier from a town outside Athens. He'd recently done his military service, and his commanding officer just happened to be the man organizing the qualifying trials for the marathon. The colonel convinced Louis to try out, but he came in fifth in the qualifying race. At the outset, Louis was far from favored to win. When the first Olympic marathon was held, there were only 17 competitors, 13 Greeks and 4 foreigners. Two early leaders in the race had won medals in shorter competitions, but it became apparent the marathon was a very different sort of race. The Frenchman, Albin Lemusieux, led for quite a while, but after 19 miles, he dropped out. Then Australian Edwin Flack led for a time. He'd already won gold in the 800 and 1500-meter races. But then he collapsed. He'd never run more than a 10-mile race in his life. Against all odds, Louis was far in the lead as he entered Athens, and thousands of Greek spectators in the all-marble Olympic Stadium were ecstatic. The Greeks had been disappointed that the American team dominated in the track and field events. They felt they'd little to show for their efforts to bring the Olympics back to glory. But now, finally, a Greek was winning an event, and it was the most historic and epic one at that. Louis was accompanied on his final lap by two Greek princes who ran, cheering him on. Stunned by his own victory, Louis was warmly greeted by the King of Greece himself, who offered him whatever he wanted. All he could think of was a new wagon to carry water. The ancient poet Pindar said of the Olympics, "The man attended by your splendid prize of honor has great glory forever." Well, okay, you might not have heard of Spiridon Louis, but let's give this underdog his moment one more time. Bravo, Spiro, bravo. I'm Richard Armstrong at the University of Houston, where we're interested in the way inventive minds work.